children don't resist it so much because you're giving them the responsibility. They're willingly taking it. They want to problem solve and interact with each other. But the resistance comes from more traditional ways of teaching.
And then I need to work for 5 years and then I'm done. Why should I change? It has nothing to do with your age. This has to do with your mindset.
This is the Delivery Space podcast. Whether you're interested in software delivery, business change, or transformation, we have some great content lined up for you. We launch into different areas of project and product delivery and give you insights and experiences that you won't get from a book. Welcome, I'm Nisha, and this is our episode on pioneering agile learning with EduScrum. I hope you guys are ready for an adventure today because we've got Billy Vynens from the Netherlands joining us. Hello, Billy, how are you?
Hi, Nisha. I'm fine. I feel fine. Thank you very much.
Can you please share with our audience so that they can get to know a little bit about you?
My name is Willy Wijnalds. I'm a chemistry, physics, and technic teacher on a high school in the Netherlands since 1976. I work on the same school for 44 years. I love my work, and I studied chemistry. When I was finished with chemistry of my study, I don't want to work with chemistry anymore. I want to work with people. I want to work with kids. So there was an opportunity to start to work in a school. So therefore, I start in a school and become later on a teacher. So I teach chemistry, physics, and techniques since 1976. And in 2011, I'm retired from working at school. Now I have a lot of work also outside the school. I'm supporting several schools in the Netherlands and outside the Netherlands. I give trainings online and in person for EduScrum. And it is not so about EduScrum, because EduScrum is a simple tool like Scrum. It is about agile learning. It is about an agile mindset. And when you have not an agile mindset working in an agile way, EduScrum, Kanban, Scrum doesn't work.
That's definitely something that I've seen through my practice so far. So Billy, can you share the story with us behind how you found EduScrum and also what motivated you to develop the approach and adapt the Scrum framework to your educational context? I'd love to know that.
It started in July 2011 on a barbecue session with my friends and a bottle of beer. And one of my friends at that time, he introduced me to Scrum, and he had just get a course from Jeff for 2 days. The Scrum course from Jeff Soland at Schubert Phyllis in Amsterdam. And he explained me Scrum on an H4 paper. I was really enthusiastic about, wow, this could be possible, also usable for school. And I had only this H4 paper with some explanation into it, what Scrum was, stories and this kind of product backlog and this kind of stuff. And I started with one experimenting class in September 2011. Mm-hmm. And the dynamic, not after 1, 2, 3, 4 lessons, directly changed the way of working of my students. So it works very well. I experimented with 2, 3 weeks, and then I add 2 classes more. And after 7 weeks, in the second period, I add 2 classes extra. And in the third period, I add 6 classes. So I work with the whole bunch of my students with the way of working with Scrum versus EduScrum. And that time, I didn't have a name for it. I didn't have the name of EduScrum. Then I was thinking about the name. Okay, Scrum for education. How can we change the name? So education with EduScrum. So we call it EduScrum. And it is even more than Scrum. We do more than Scrum. Not to be arrogant, but there are several differences between Scrum and EduScrum. The artifacts and the ceremonies are the same. The words what we use are the same. What is different that we focus not only on the learning outcomes, the products, but we focus also on the personal development and on the team development. And for me personally, it is not about chemistry or physics or techniques. That is a result of working together. For me, personal development, when the students know or becoming to know who they are, and the students working in a team as they know each other better, what are their qualities and skills to work together, then the next step is learning the topics.
Firstly, I just want to say, a bottle of beer and a barbecue That is like a really good story around how Edgescum came about, and also like how your friend was able to summarize it on a single A4 sheet of paper so that you could understand the essence of it and see how not only could you apply it in life, but also within the classroom too. That's really powerful for me because as an agilist, explaining something that's very, very simple, but also very hard to do in practice is an art. Explaining that in a way that can be absorbed to strike that idea in your mind is pretty powerful stuff. So that barbecue was a real milestone in your life, I think.
Yes, and it was not my idea to change education. And it is still not my idea to change education because I don't want to push and I cannot push people to change. That change people and behavior is a very hard. I want to show what you can reach with Edgescum of Agile way of working, but to pull them in and not to push them in.
Do you know what else I found really powerful about your story is the fact that you're encouraging students to look at their personal development. So like us in the software development field, we've been used to other methods of working before we came across Agile and we came across frameworks like Scrum, XP, etc. So we have preconceptions in our mind. We have thought patterns ingrained in our mind of other things that we're used to. And it's putting that aside in order to learn what Scrum's really about and what working with more agility can give us. But with these children in the classroom, they don't really have those methods apart from traditional classroom teaching. And what you're also teaching them is how to get on with each other, how to work in teams to be able to understand their own growth and be able to work towards solving problems. And these are things that are so crucial in the world of work. So there is so much more that comes out of the Edgescum framework for them, I believe. In your opinion, what's the optimal age for students to begin engaging with Edgescum?
I would say you can use it for kids from 4 years old until university kids. You can use it for every kind of subject. You can use it for every project what you want to use. And one of the impediments could be is that we have to stick to the curriculum. But that is not impediment. A curriculum is kind of an anchor. You know, we have to stick to the rules to get the students through the exams. My experience with the whole kind of students for 4 to 23, 24 or adults is that the students, when they are 10, 11, 12 years old, so are very curious. They're very open to learn. And also the younger ones, you know, the kids are agile. The kids are agile.
Yeah, that is they're no very, very adaptable, right?
Yes, of course. And the students, when they are 9 of 10, 11 years old, so are grow up and they want to reach some things, they get some ideas, and then they are really eager to get things out of it, to observe, to be curious, to find out things, this kind of stuff. That works. And when they become 13, 14, 15, 16 years old, so are already put in a kind of a subjects or projects where they have to listen to. But it is possible. It's not so difficult to adjust and adapt. And before you want to teach students whatever, give them trust, give them ownership, let them work together, create a safe environment, create a good relation with your students, care for your students, collaboration, communication, the way working together is very hard for people to work on. And for the most difficult part is communication, how to communicate with each other, how to talk with each other, and this kind of stuff. What we implemented also the creativity, so the students may bring in their own creativity. We let them critical thinking. We let them make them curious. We give them a free choice. Next to stick to the curriculum, they have to choose also they can bring their own choices too. And the most important thing is of all these C's is for me caring. Care for your students.
You said that around the age group being from 4 to kind of early 20s, didn't you?
Yeah.
Is that a big responsibility on those children that are very young? And do they need to be guided through the process in a special way?
I would say no. Treat them as human beings, you know. You don't need to be special. Especially the little kids feel what your attention is, how to teach them. You don't need to have special tools for little kids or older kids. And also for the adult, not also for the adults. Be a human being and treat them like a human being. You tell them what they have to do. Ask them what they want to learn. next to the stuff they have to learn.
So when you've seen this in classrooms, the children actually take on the responsibility quite happily.
Yeah.
That is really interesting. I'd love to see this in action in classrooms. And this morning, I just wanted to say thank you for inviting me to your EduScrum gathering, where I was able to be part of a group of teachers to understand how they also want to and are using EduScrum within their environments and within their schools today. So that was really inspiring. What challenges, Philly, do those teachers experience in their environments when they're trying to bring EduScrum into their schools?
The challenge is not to bring it to your students, to teachers, to students in another way of working in the beginning. I don't tell my students, now we're going to work in Agile way. Now we're going to work with Scrum. Now we're going to work with EduScrum. I put my subject into projects, all curriculum stuff is into it. And then let them work in teams together and work in short cycles. And let them improve every cycle of some lessons to improve their stuff and let them show this. So every time you have the inspection moment and adapt moments, it's the same cycles into it. So what is the resistance? The resistance is not coming from the students. Yeah, maybe in the beginning, because I use that teacher tell you what to do, but I don't tell them what to do. I give them an assignment in the beginning and say, with criteria in the beginning, what are the criteria for the project at the end? I'm clear in the beginning, and then they can work in teams. So when they work in teams together, I make them dependent of each other. So when they have a question on me, I ask them, did you ask your team members? No, not yet. So ask first your team members. And when they don't get it, then I come in and can explain something. The impediment is mostly that all our colleagues or student teachers cannot change or don't want to change because of they have always good results. And why should I change? And I'm maybe 60 years old and then I need to work for 5 years and then I'm done. Why should I change? That is not it. Has nothing to do with your age. This has to do with your mindset.
That's really interesting, right? That the children don't resist it so much because you're giving them the responsibility. They're willingly taking it. They want to problem solve and interact with each other. You keep the pillars of Scrum alive within EduScrum as well. So the transparency, the adapt, the adaptation, the inspection. But the resistance comes from more traditional ways of teaching.
Exactly. And behavior change is a really challenge. Not so much from students. In the beginning, students are maybe resisting because I don't teach in a traditional way. I don't talk for 50 minutes. Maybe I talk for 5 or 10 minutes. That's it in a lesson of 50 to 60 minutes. As they have to figure that out by themselves. And I am not the ordinary teacher or instructor. I will be a coach, a facilitator, a servant leader when they need something. I try to give them the tools what they need.
Describe to me the roles and the accountabilities in contrast to Scrum, Billy, that exist in the EduScrum side. So the teacher then acts as the Scrum master, is that right?
The difference between Scrum and EduScrum, the teacher is the product owner and
the Scrum master. Okay.
Yeah, both. Because he must manage the classroom as well. And secondly, he's responsible for the curriculum and outcomes. So in the beginning, he has both roles. And the students, because we don't have the facilitation that we have Scrum Masters, especially Scrum Masters in the classroom, the students will choose each other on two different ways, both on when the topic is the same. They choose each other both based on qualities and skills. So...
Right, that's team formation stage, isn't it?
Team formation, yes. That's a team formation. Or they will be chosen based on interest. So when they have the same interest, I put them together. And then the list of qualities and skills, I enter later. So they've pointed out 5 of their best qualities and skills. And then they show it to each other and they know, hey, I know I need somebody who's very good in audio stuff. So I have to go to this, do my teammate in this one. I need a writer. So we have a team. Within how do these formation, we don't call that is a Scrum Master into the team of the students. We call them the team captain because I don't like the word master. Mastery, okay, I have to mastery my work and to improve myself. But being a master, no,
again, I'm trying to imagine how this would really work in a classroom, and I get excited about it. I tell you why, because we used to be given projects. Myself and my sister were educated in that time where we used to play a lot and learn through play, and our teachers used to encourage that. And they used to encourage us working on projects, and it's bringing back memories on how we used to work together in groups on projects, and at that time as well, assign each other tasks on how to do and what to do. So it's a very natural thing that children do. And we knew nothing of Scrum at that age, but it was a hell of a lot of fun. And I tell you what, Billy, it's one thing that these children are experiencing that growth, but it's also a lot of self-awareness that they're getting into their own strengths.
They become aware of who they are. They become more autonomous. And talking about, they get ownership of their own learning because they know who they are. Okay, I know who I am, what I'm according to skills, what did I discover about myself? So they get more a direction and be conscious, as you say, who they are.
For the world of work, in the way that we interact with others, with the way we respect each other within our, even our working environments and our lives outside of work too, that self-awareness matters so much as we get older.
In the Netherlands and a lot of countries, we have a lack of teachers. How can you solve the teacher problem? Let the students work in teams. Then you can handle more students at the same time. I have my own example that I teach 60 students at the same time. And when you ask me, can you teach 60 students in 1 hour lessons at the same time? I must confess, no, I can't. Not a single 60 students. But 60 students is for me 12 teams or 5. So I teach 12 teams and not 60 students.
It reduces the marking that comes out of it. Absolutely. Yeah. And because the children are effectively learning, it's a self-learning environment, and you're giving them tools to go out and find things, presumably as well, so that, you know, if they don't know of sources to find information, you as a teacher are giving them that, then they're learning. So I know from my sister, she's a teacher, and there's different levels of ability that she has to cater for in a single lesson. So she has to differentiate between different levels of ability in the UK. And that's really hard to plan a lesson for, you know, high ability, low ability, medium ability, or however she differentiates it. And she's always saying it, that's hard. You know, she has to think about this. And also, yeah, the marking effort is hard. Whereas if the children are doing their own investigations, I guess, you know, the admin effort after that isn't so bad.
You know, Nisa, when a teacher tells a student or students what they have to do, they listen a little bit. But when they work in a team, they have a kind of a peer frequency. They talk the same language. And when they talk the same language, they understand each other much better than when it comes from me or another adult.
Because they're using each other's influence to make each other better.
Exactly. Yeah.
I would have loved to have known about EduScrum for group learning at university, because at university we had so many group learning assignments, coursework to submit. And it was tough. It was really, really hard at that age to kind of bring people together. Some people were used to it. Some were used to more essay style of learning and writing. And at that stage, it's really a challenge to be able to get people together. And I remember those being really tough assignments. So I would have loved to have known about something and something like EduScrum introduced so much earlier in my education personally.
What I say in the beginning, it is not about EduScrum. It is working together in an agile way. EduScrum, like Scrum, give a structure.
Yeah.
Very simple structure. That is what it is. When students come from the primary school, high school to the university, most students don't like to work together because they have bad experience on the high schools. Because mostly when they work together in a team, one or two team members do nothing and some do all the work. So, and that is normal, but it is not normal. But so I used to it. So you have to relearn or unlearn that you can also work in a new way of teamwork.
And what has been the feedback, Billy, from those students who have experienced it, who've gone on to higher learning and university?
And some of the students get their job because of working with Edelstrom. Say, link it me, send me a message. Really, I have a job because of you. It's like, no, that is impossible. But I have a job because I mentioned that I work in this Edelstrom way. And then it opens up, and it is not for all students, of course, but a lot of students have a job of like to work this kind of work. Other students work in a company where they apply Edelstrom too. And I use the English words, you know, stories, backlog, all this kind of stuff, and not transform it to the Dutch words. And why I don't transform it to Dutch words? Because when they come into the company, then they understand in the companies they use the English words about stories, criteria, and this kind of stuff.
It's such good feedback that a lot of students have landed their jobs because they're able to demonstrate good skills that they've got out of using Edelstrom and applying it in their learning. That's brilliant. How does that make you feel?
I was in a primary school in January this year, and the whole school, primary school in Germany, adapted Edelstrom in the whole school. From 4 years old until 12 years old, the whole school. And step by step, they implement more and more and more. And then I was observing in one class, and the students were, I think, around nine, 10 years old. And they work on geography and the world cultures and this kind of stuff in their own project. At that moment, when they presented some of their stuff, that was the first time I feel really proud. It happens because I started it a long time ago. And I get that was the first time I get the feeling, yes, I started it. And then I ignite the fire, you know. And now it happens in the classroom. It is well known in more than 40 countries. So it's spread around more and more and more.
That is amazing that you have that kind of global presence and knowledge about Edelstrom. How does your team work, Vili, towards making Edelstrom accessible to educators globally?
We have our website, of course, and we have our sessions, World Journey sessions. We have R4B Agile sessions. We have gathering sessions. We have training sessions. So more and more people come in and ask for training. Also, not only schools, but also companies. In Germany, in Slovakia, there companies and Israel, people come in from companies and join our Edelstrom training. And then they can apply it in their company too. And I work closely together with Christina and with other trainers. We have regular sessions together. How can we improve ourselves? And today you saw some of the trainers, how they are engaged and how they are committed to work together.
Really committed. I am so happy you're able to join us today, Vili. And I consider myself very fortunate to learn about how Scrum has been adapted to the field of education. I would love for you to have a follow-up session with us to talk more in detail about how schools are actually adopting this live case study so we can see the work in action. Would you be willing to do that?
Yes, of course. And also, you are invited to follow our sessions. Not only you, but people can join for free.
So what we'll do with this episode, Vili, we will send out links for your world sessions, for your Art to Be Agile as well. And those that are interested can come and take part and take a look. Thank you so much for joining us today. I really appreciate you taking the time out. I know you're a very busy person. You have lots going on. So I appreciate you. Thank you very much, Vili.
So thank you, Anisha, for inviting me.
Thank you for listening. Please make sure that you follow us on all of our socials so you don't miss out on great episodes and speakers. Bye for now.